Well, shalom again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to our latest installment of Hebrew Treasures. Today, we're going to be dealing with the word for righteous. Now, when I was a kid, young man, I used to wonder, what's the difference between being righteous and being holy? In my mind, they were kind of one and the same thing, just different words. And it is true that there are very similar things connecting righteous and holy, but there are also distinctions. And so the intent of our study today is to look at the word for righteous, and that word is tzedek. It's spelled tzade dalet kuf. Tzedek. We want to take a look at it, and we want to try to better understand what this word righteous means. And to do that, of course, we're going to have to look at a lot of verses, but I want to look at the root word tzedek. It's spelled the same way, it's just pronounced slightly different. But this word tzedek means to satisfy objective justice. That is to be dutiful to what is right, to do what's right. Of course, what's right has to be defined by someone who has the authority to define it. That is, of course, the Creator, who is the righteous one, as we read in the Psalms. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. And so, what we glean from this is, he's the only righteous one, and what he ordains as being right, righteous, true, should be considered as universal truth, as universal justice, as everlasting and eternal truth and justice. Therefore, to his people, he says this, "You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous." And by the way, that term is tzedekim. It's the plural form of our root word today. "You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, he's talking specifically to judges here, but I would suggest that we could extrapolate the concept to include all of God's people, because all of God's people are to follow what is just. Now, what's interesting is that when you look at verse 20 in Hebrew, if I were to render it literally, it would say, "Justice, justice you shall follow," as if to say he's going to really emphasize that justice is what you need to follow after, what you need to strive for. The word in Hebrew that is translated justice is tzedek, our word that we're dealing with today. So twice he says, tzedek, tzedek you shall follow. So righteousness, as the Creator defines it, righteousness and justice as the Creator ordains it, is what we are to follow, because those are the universal and everlasting truths that he established. And so Dr. Frank Seekins, using the Paleo-Hebrew, taking the letters Tzadeh, Dalet, and Kuf, and using the pictographs and the imagery that they portray, defines the word tzedek as meaning this, hooked so that your life follows, that is, God. The tzadeh is said to be a hook, and so the idea here of justice, or tzedek, righteousness, is that we're hooked. And so being hooked by him, we're going to follow him. We're going to follow his ways. That's what we're going to strive for. So taking all this into consideration, here's some things that we can conclude. We cannot attain righteousness. We cannot be tzedek by doing anything, even things that appear to be good, if it differs with the standards that the Creator has established, because he alone is righteous. And he alone has the authority to define what is righteous, what is true. Now consider the word tzedaka, and it's spelled tzadeh, dalet, kuf, he. Tzedaka is the word that is translated righteousness or justice, but it's also the Hebrew word that is used to be rendered charity. Sometimes you can go into a congregation, a messianic congregation, and in the back they'll have what they call a tzedakah box, a charity box, because that's going to be where people will put their gifts and contributions that are intended to be used to help people in need. Thus, tzedakah is charity. But I want you to consider that there are many who give to charity. There are even those who establish charitable foundations where people can contribute to help needy people. But those people who give and those people who establish these organizations oftentimes live outside the boundaries of what God establishes as righteousness. There are those who are religious, very religious in fact, who go to do good, that is, as defined by mankind, but often, as we see, live by their own righteous standards instead of the Creator's standards. So then my point is, to be charitable is good, but to do tzedakah in the eyes of man, but to live outside of the boundaries established as tzedek by the Creator, well, that's just trying to live by our own righteous standards. To be charitable, to be generous, to do tzedakah is said to be, in Hebrew, to have a good eye. In fact, Yeshua alludes to this in Matthew chapter 6. So, to have a good eye is to be someone who's compassionate, merciful, caring, charitable. But consider the parable of the Good Samaritan, where you have someone that looks outwardly to be tzedek, righteous, the Kohen, the Levite, who looks outwardly to be a righteous person, but who passes by the man left for dead on the other side of the road. And then along comes the Samaritan, who outwardly doesn't look to be righteous. If you understand the distinctions that were placed between the Samaritans and the Jews 2,000 years ago. But what did he do? Who had the good eye? Who was compassionate? Who was generous? It wasn't the one who looked outwardly righteous. It was the one who didn't look righteous on the outside. And yet, he's the one who came closer to fulfilling God's standards of righteousness, that is, tzedakah. Because, again, the Creator is the one who is righteous. And so then, he is the only one who has the authority to determine what is right and what is wrong. And many, many times we see in Scripture that he'll end up saying that those who look righteous on the outside are actually wrong. And those who look wrong on the outside are the ones who end up doing what God establishes as righteous acts. So then for us to make our own determinations about what is right and what is true outside of God's instruction, even if it is sometimes inspired by God's instruction, is to, in the end, establish self-righteousness. And oddly enough, that particular word for self-righteousness, tzidkenut, if I were to spell that for you in Hebrew, you would see that it is very closely related to tzedek. It looks like tzedek, but it's not tzedek. It's self-righteousness. Now, Ezekiel said that those who trust in their own righteousness end up committing iniquity, and their righteous actions will not be remembered. Here's why. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So it's very explicit there. There's none who are tzedek. And then later on in his letter to the Romans, Paul had this to say. For I bear them witness, and he's talking about his Jewish brethren, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Messiah is the end, and that word really means goal, of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so then when it comes to righteousness or being righteous, tzedek, that whole point of it is to take us to the Messiah, to lead us to the Messiah. That's the goal of God's instructions as he's written in the Torah to everyone who believes. So a lot of times, man, looking at what God says, establishes their own code of righteousness, but it's totally outside of God's. And so again, Paul is making it clear that those instructions that God gave us in the Torah, the goal of it was to lead us to Messiah, because that's the prime example of what God's righteousness is all about. So then, that's how and why we obtain righteousness. It's in and through the Messiah. Now, considering this, I think we should pay close attention to what Messiah had to say about righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that is God's righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So again, we're not talking about man's code of righteousness. We're talking about God's code. And for those that hunger and thirst, he says they will be filled. And those that pursue God's righteousness, well, they will be persecuted for it. But they're the ones that will inherit the kingdom. When considering what takes priority in life, here's what Messiah had to say. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That is the things that we need in everyday life. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. So what he's saying, at least to me, is that as believers, our main priority day to day should be living by and seeking to live by God's code of righteousness, not our own. To hunger and to thirst for his righteousness. And if we do that, we will be filled. And not only that, but we won't have to worry about the day-to-day things that we need because God knows that we need these things. And so it goes back to what he said in Deuteronomy. Justice, justice you shall follow. Those are the things that we should strive for. God's righteousness, what he says is righteous. In short, to be righteous, to do what is right according to God's standards is to live by faith. Because if I am going to put the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness as my main priority, to hunger and to thirst for those things, that means I'm putting all of my daily needs and all the things that are temporal that I think I need, I'm going to put those on the back burner. I'm going to trust in him and allow him to meet my daily needs, to give me my daily bread. And ladies and gentlemen, that is to live by faith. And so then we shouldn't be surprised to see this. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And the word that is translated as the just is the word tzaddik. Tzaddik, and it's just a derivative of our root word. And tzaddik means the righteous one. So the righteous one shall live by his faith. Those that are going to be deemed in God's eyes as being righteous are going to do it by faith. So if none are righteous, according to what we read, that then accentuates the fact that the only way to be considered righteous is to be of faith. Now here's a little footnote to that thought. The group of people that we refer to in Scripture as the Sadducees are called in Hebrew, Zedukim, a word that is derived from the name of a high priest, Zadok. He was in the first temple period. But in other words, the Sadducees in Hebrew were called Zedukim, literally the pious ones or the righteous ones. Yet this is the same sect that Caiaphas belonged to. And of course, you remember Caiaphas is the one who condemned Yeshua to death. My point in bringing that out, there's none righteous. Not one, except those, as the scripture tells us, who lives by faith. Paul also had this to say on the subject. For in it, that is the gospel of Messiah, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And again, he says this. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And so this concept that Paul is giving to us here and telling us that the gospel of the Messiah is what reveals the righteousness of God, because the gospel of the Messiah is one that is about faith, trusting and believing that God will be faithful to keep his promise if I believe on the Messiah. We see this concept of righteousness being attained through faith in the life of Abraham. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, So his keeping this rule and not doing that, if he did that, then he has something to boast about. But the thing that God boasts about him, it's concerning his faith, his trust. That's what God brings attention to. Not that he did this act or he didn't do that act, but he did or didn't do those things because he had placed trust in God. He displayed godly virtues, generosity, patience, mercy, dedication, trust. These attributes are meritorious. However, God didn't prescribe them to him in a law. These things were an exhibition of who he was because he trusted God and he considered God to be faithful. And thus we understand if we follow this pattern, we too will be considered righteous, not because of our own merits, and certainly not because of our code of righteousness. But because we trust God, we actually obtain clemency because we've trusted in him and in his Messiah. Because in our faith in the Messiah Yeshua, we are therefore acquitted of our transgressions, those things that we've committed against God's righteous standards, those things that are written in his law. But when we place our trust and our confidence in the Messiah, we obtain this acquittal. We obtain this clemency and therefore are regarded as righteous because we're living by our faith. I'll leave you with this verse. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The big problem that a lot of people have, the religious people of the world, whether you're looking at Christians, Jews, what have you, is because they look at what God said and they know what God said, but they don't understand what God said. And so the psalmist is saying, give me understanding of what it is you're trying to say here and I will live. If I have understanding of what his righteousness is, then I will live. And we are told that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of the Messiah, which really boils down to this. The just, the Zedek, shall live by his faith. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you again next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.